Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team of Prudential Now Realty, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977, or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how are you?
Doing good.
And we
hoping
also
for more snow.
Hoping for more snow? Is
Oh,
you must have a smoking snowblower.
Guy.
No, just a shovel.
I need two clear days to finish the melting so we can get on the roof and get the Christmas lights up.
Oh, we put ours up during the snowstorm.
Oh, you're way more ambitious.
Yeah, but you're a madman. You build pools and don't even swim in them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that really has. There has been definitely, you can see less lights up around town just because people haven't been able, you know, a lot of people do it over Thanksgiving, and that didn't work this year. Yeah.
Lazy.
Oh, nice. I do like
the
your
snow
strategy.
In my front yard doesn't feel too cushiony.
No.
What you should have said was, well, if you were smart, you'd have called Brent at Gamash and had him do it for you. Force of habit.
Yeah, he's got the same problems over there. Well, folks, the other person you hear, as always, is our lending expert, Mr. Scott Ridgway with Cobalt Mortgage. Scott, how have you been?
Been great. How are you guys doing? It's fun to be back here. I missed last week.
I know. I was going to say, it kind of feels like old times again. Yep. We kicked all the guests out of the studio today, and it's just back to the lender and the real estate guy and John. So
let's get back to the core business here, right?
Well, definitely. Yes. We always like to start off with some local real estate news, and for this time of the month for us, that means November numbers are in. They've been tabulated, and we can kind of take a look at what's going on. So it really interesting, kind of a roller coaster this year. So last year through November, we had 3,063 sales. Mm-hmm. That's how many sales we had last year through November. With the close of last month, just a couple days ago there, we had 3,035. So that is close, but that is less. If you remember correctly, through May, June, with tax credits and what was happening, we were up at one point above 23% ahead. So
big momentum.
It's a lot of momentum. Luckily, it was enough to keep it moving. But we have given up a lot. We have given up all of those gains, and we're kind of back to even. So with everything in considered of what's happened, so the second half of the year has been significantly slower. Lower than the first half. It looks like that trend has continued through November. And it looks like, though, with all things said and done, evened out, we'll see for sure when the numbers are in next month. But it looks like we're going to end up close to even or just slightly down by a percentage point or two over last year. So
that probably had a lot to do with that.
That is a very good mm-hmm. point. And I was going to point that out, that November's numbers were hit really hard by the weather. It is hard to, there's just a lot of people that will put off a decision for a month or two. It's hard to evaluate properties. There's a lot of things you have to think about when the weather hits. For instance, have sprinklers been blown out with snow on the ground? What does the landscaping really look like?
Right.
I mean, it is funny, and we kind of say that and we laugh jokingly, but when you look at a home this time of year with snow on the ground, you can't tell if they're cement curbing. You can't tell how well the beds have been taken care of. So so there are a lot of people that just aren't willing to take on that added risk, and that did put a crunch on our November numbers this year. So we did have some thawing this last week, and the roads were back to cleared off a little bit. So I can tell you that we immediately saw activities kind of ticking back up again.
Well,
so
it's supposed to warm up a little bit here coming up the next couple days, so that'll help out a lot too.
It will make a difference in the real estate market. It might make John sad over there, but in the real estate wise, we do see increased activity and more people out looking. So that is, that is our news. That's what we've been looking at over the last month or so. And so we'll keep a close eye on that. Today's topic, what we wanted to talk about is a lot of our business sometimes ends up being the second time a home has been on the market. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people ask us the question, what happened the first time? Or a lot of times we will have homes that have been on the market for sale by owner, and then when it comes to us, it's the second time that they're really on the market.
When they should have gone to you in the first place.
Well,
Isn't that called reality real estate?
Well, there are transactions that do happen for sale by owner, but one of the things that is interesting about real estate, and especially real estate law, is that the statistic is that over 85% of the litigation that happens with real estate transactions happens in for sale by owner situations. So there is the legal protections that are offered, you know, not only at the beginning but later on that come up. What we wanted to do is we wanted to take a look at, okay, what happened? Why didn't it sell the first time? Why didn't it sell when it was for sale by owner? Why didn't it sell when it was on the market the first time? My initial thoughts when we begin this process is reviewing what our core objectives are. It really goes back to the basics as we mm-hmm. kind of finish up this year, and I wanted people to be aware of for as they start next year with potentially a fresh start. Number one, we're trying to get as many qualified buyers as possible into your home until it's sold. That is the goal. That is what you want. That is what we're hired to do. Number two is we communicate the results of those activities to you. And then when the rubber hits the road, when it comes down to it at the end, it's to assist you in negotiating the highest dollar value between you and the buyer. That's what we're going for. And so then we review, as we break it down, what could have happened the first time? What got messed up that we didn't consider? And so we look at the four different factors that we look at. And folks, that's price, condition, location, and marketing.
And that, it never deviates from that. It never does.
It really, when we do an evaluation for a second time home on the market, that is where we start. That is the criteria that we go in and look at. So the best way that I can relate the story to you, because people sometimes they have a hard time with this. You know, it's your house and you've lived in it and it's emotional. And, you know, it's somewhere you sleep and have dinner with your family. So there's so sometimes it's hard to really get into the scenario to look at what happens with number one, and that's price. So for instance, I like to break it down to a story. So we're on the radio right now, so a lot of people are driving around in cars. So Scott, I'll put this stories.
It's Christmas time. You know, it's the holiday. Tell me a story.
Okay, so I'll put this to put it in perspective. Oh boy, the real estate Christmas song.
I love it.
So to put it in perspective and something that people are more familiar with, let's look at cars. So for instance, Scott, you're looking for cars. So you're out shopping for a car. You got two cars on the lot. Same make, same model, same year, same color.
Got it.
Both priced at $20,000.
Right.
Now, say we have one of those cars, maybe the car number one has upgraded wheels on it.
Nice.
And a GPS system installed.
Nice.
But that's not on car number two.
Oh.
Everything else is the same, and it's the same price. Which one are you going to buy?
I'm going for the upgrades.
Right. You're going for the upgrades. The same price, right? Okay. Now, let me ask you this. We're going to start with the same basic cars again.
Okay.
But this time, they're both exactly the same, make, model, color, year.
Mm-hmm.
This time, we discount the price of car number two by $3,000. Which car are you going to buy? I mean, it's pretty easy.
I'm going to buy the discounted car.
And then what are you going to do with that $3,000?
I'm going to use it to put fuzzy dice and wheels and a stereo system and all the things that I can do to make it what I want.
Because those are the things you liked. Exactly. So it didn't matter. I would rather
customize it to myself.
You would rather have the $3,000.
You bet, yeah.
Than the upgrade somebody else had picked.
Absolutely.
And so that, I mean, it's really that basic. And so what happens is it boils down to, you know, we have the same scenario when we look at houses. And it makes more sense in cars because we've done it more often and had more transactions.
Sure.
But basically, I mean, I break it down to more features and benefits at the same price as your competition, which is that other car on the lot or that house down the street, or the price is lower than similar properties. That's how the scenario plays out.
Similar property.
Just like we went through with the cars. Now, The thing about real estate that does make it tough is that it's not as simple as white car, Chevy, 03. Right. I mean, there are lots, there are house orientations, and that does come into play. But when we're really evaluating what happened the first time, why the house didn't sell, that is the exact scenario that we go through. Just like we'd buy a car, we list out scenarios, benefits, price.
Well, and there's the perceptions, too, because what somebody might see as value, an appraiser from a real estate market valuation...
Exactly.
May say, okay, the question is, does it have Formica tile or granite countertops? Well, from an appraiser standpoint, they might ask, does it have countertops?
You're exactly
right. So those are things
exactly
that we also
right.
have to have people listening to you and giving your professional opinion
and,
about.
And we definitely do. And so what we do this time of year, and one reason I wanted to highlight this topic on the show today, is we do a lot of evaluations. People are starting to make, we are crazy busy right now. And it doesn't seem like, gosh, why would you, as real estate, why would you be so busy in November and December? Mm-hmm. Everybody now is starting to make their decisions for next year, January, mm-hmm. February, March. Or the house didn't sell this fall and they're wondering what happened, you know, what we can do about it. And sometimes what we can do about it doesn't work for your situation. I mean, we're not going to blanket that this is, you know, the mm-hmm. save all for every situation, because in personal situations, we also have to factor into, we just talked about price. Well, what's your mortgage on the house? Can you go to that price?
Right.
What are your needs? You know, so there, mm-hmm. there are the other factors to consider, but when we look at it and they say, gosh, why didn't it sell? Well, you know, I can tell you in that evaluation why it didn't sell, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work for you. Right. You might have to stay at the house. Well, in fact, I had a client last week, and it was really interesting. They said, and they had a really open mind to what was going on. They said, Lance, you need to make some decisions about buying another house out of state. I'm trying to decide whether I keep mine, sell it. Come to my house, give me a value. By the way, we just had a refinance appraisal, and it came in at 220.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, she kind of looked at me, and she goes, but I think that's kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I went and looked at the house, and I finished it up, sent her the comparable properties, finished up my analysis of the house, and you know what? It came in between 190 and 195.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Even though within 6 months ago, they'd had a refinance appraisal at 220. And that was a hard thing to do. Because
this is not a good scenario.
I'm doing is I'm telling them that, you know, that's what the market can bear right now.
Mm-hmm.
No one likes to hear that their property is worth less than they think it is. But, you know, I had to tell her that that's what the market was at. You know, that's a tough conversation. Well, she came up to me. She goes, Lance, you're killing me here. And I said, sorry, it's not me. It's the market. You know, I'm just, mm-hmm. you know, telling you my interpretation. And she says, gosh, I looked at all those houses you sent me. She goes, I would have bought some of those instead of mine. at that price.
That's when the light bulb goes
so
off. When they actually see it and they realize, okay.
You know, and I just really appreciated. She mm-hmm. took the information we provided. She made a good decision with what they needed to do with the property, and they couldn't sell. And that's just one of the services we provide. And so sometimes we do those appointments, we do those evaluations to help people make those decisions. And that's, and in that case, they did not need to sell that home. The better choice for them was to hold on to that home and keep that home. So,
mm-hmm.
So that's what we do. That's what we're helping people do right now. That is the basis. That is number one price that we've gone over. But before we go to break here, I just want to talk a little more about lending.
Mm-hmm.
We'll save items number two and three, condition and location, for after the break. But Scott, what is going on with lending? We've kind of had a wild ride here towards the end of the year.
Oh, this last week has been crazy.
Give us an update with the lending world, with mortgages. What's happening and what do you think we need to know?
Well, right now we're seeing a trend on the upside. We're seeing the mortgage interest rates ticking up a little bit. And just this past week, I'm sure you folks heard this in the news, is that the Bush tax credits were extended 2 years. And so if they weren't extended, we were anticipating we might see some sell-off in the stock market. And that's when you see money go from stocks and into bonds. That pushes interest rates down typically. We didn't get that. Now that that announcement had been made, the stocks have actually been pretty strong, and so the bond market is not the beneficiary of some decisions that were still up in the air. And so we're seeing interest rates staying pretty flat to ticking up a little bit right now. So the little crystal ball is, well, let's see what happens through the end of this retail season with the holidays.
Yep.
And let's see where things land as we go into 2011.
Yeah.
So that's really what's going on, is it's a tough market to read right now. And it's really based off of a lot of these major reports that are coming out. So we'll see where retail sales in November and December come in.
Definitely is something to watch for. Now, you guys, obviously, I mean, some things have slowed, but people are still refinancing out there. I believe there are still people out there that had not taken advantage of the lower rates, and
we're slammed busy right now.
That was my next question. With rates starting to go back up, people are probably making the decision that this might have been the bottom.
Yeah, and just like buyers in the market right now, if they're buyers in the market right now, they're serious. And with people that are calling with refinances and looking at those options, they may have been on the fence, waiting to see which direction things would fall. And now that it looks like things have leveled out and may start creeping up a little bit, now you get the panic refinancers that say, I want to lock in now. I want to lock in now. I don't want them to drip up a little bit more.
Right.
And so that's what we're seeing is a lot of those fence sitters saying, I better do it now or I may miss the boat. And so if you have a question about whether a refinance makes sense for you, please give me a call, 737-6004, 737-6004, and let us at least give you an analysis of whether it makes sense for you to do it or not based on how much longer you plan on staying in that property.
Scott, that's great information. We really appreciate you always being here to fill us in on the lending and the ins and outs of the stuff that we don't understand.
Absolutely. Appreciate being here.
So with that, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about condition and location.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Hello, guys. We're back here on the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been talking about what happens if we don't quite make it to the finish line the first time around, changes we can make, things to consider, and what we need to think about. And this not only relates to the real estate on the physical side, but I'm sure we'll get some stories out of Scott about what can happen on the lending side.
Hey, we're telling holiday stories today. Yeah, it's all good.
Very, very good. So the next thing that we're going to talk about is condition. If we're evaluating something that did not potentially sell the first time, condition is going to be a big thing we look at. And once again, tough conversations to have. People live in houses. They're personal. But there's things that, you know, people live with every day that when we're selling a house, we might necessarily not want to have around. So, for instance, what happens is a lot of us develop clutter at spaces. We have the extra mail on the desk and the opened envelopes and the piles of the manuscript that you're going to read in a couple days.
And the treadmill in the living room.
And the treadmill in the living room. No, they're exactly
like that hoarder's reality show.
Oh, it's not hoarder.
Oh,
it's not hoarder.
Clear out the gunk. Get rid of the clutter.
But it's stuff that we use to be functional, but not necessarily what puts the house in the best light to resell. So there's a lot of things you can do. Sometimes condition can be changed by the simple fact of renting a mini storage. Renting a mini storage and clearing out some of the stuff that you can live without for a couple months. What I find happens with a lot of my clients is they rent a mini storage, fill out some of there, they sell the house, they move into the new one, and then they say, we're just going to have a yard sale because we didn't use half that stuff anyway.
Didn't need it anyway. Yep.
So that happens, and we see that a lot. Sometimes the house might not be warm or inviting enough. It can be a matter of replacing some curtains or making sure that you've bought some new towels to hang in the bathroom. Sometimes simple little staging touches like that can make the difference. One thing we like to do is walk through those homes with people that they think might have had questions about or not sure about, and then make those suggestions that we think will repay. Another one that I come across all the time is a lot of times people are very hesitant about changing carpet. This is a difficult thing, and I hear people all the time say, you know what, I don't want to pick a color because it's personal. Mm-hmm. The next person might want it changed. Mm-hmm. And so we should just give them a credit. Well, that seems like a good idea in theory, but what would happen if that was true, then 90% of homes would never sell. And in fact, new houses, they wouldn't even bother to put the carpet in. But you don't see that, right? It seems crazy when we speak speak about it like that.
Something about walking in and having that new carpet smell.
And having that feel. Mm-hmm. Most people are flexible with what has happened, and they can usually work around a neutral base color. So I tell people, don't go in crazy with colors. Don't put pink carpet in or green carpet in or orange carpet, something that would be highly, highly personal. Look to what the model homes are doing. Look to what the modern trend is with the carpet style right now. By putting that into the house, it makes the house feel newer, and it also updates it to the point where you're not going to have to worry because one of your competitors is going to have perfect carpet. Mm-hmm. That that look is what you're going up against. When someone looks, they look at 5-6 houses before they decide to buy, maybe 30. It just depends on the individual. But if someone's choosing between a final list of 5, guarantee one of those 5 on the list is probably going to have perfect carpet.
So you were talking about items that will repay. Obviously, carpet is one of the large ones. What are a couple other ones that are good items that bring front you back door. That value.
Yep. The best one is the front door. Painting the front door, potentially redoing a front door with glass side lights on the side.
Uh-huh.
The front door will always return a huge, huge amount of money. That is a big one.
See, that's good info for everybody
the
out
front
there.
Front door is big. And then the next biggest one is paint. If there's any questions about repainting a couple of rooms, the price per painting versus what you're going to get back out of it is another very, very good one.
So is that specifically interior?
Interior. That's
so not necessarily exterior.
Not necessarily exterior unless it needs it, but interior for sure, because you just get that warm feeling. And then carpet isn't always on the top of the list as a biggest return, but it is a big decision maker in people's feel for how the house looks. Flooring, flooring is a big deal.
How about the importance of a good solid pad underneath the carpet? Does that make much of a difference?
You know, it does to the fact of you don't want it to feel just rail thin. Yeah, an upgraded pad, people associate that with carpet quality being better. So you can take a middle of the road carpet quality with a great pad and make it, makes it seem like the carpet's more expensive. But that flooring is huge. So, and if it's not new flooring that we need, definitely getting Stanley Steamer out there, to clean the flooring.
Oh my goodness. Mike's crew does a phenomenal job.
Mike Frazier and Stanley Steamer, that's a huge, huge one. So that's a big deal. The other one that can return a lot is landscaping in the front. You know, I'm not saying we do a whole yard makeover.
Just a cleanup.
But that curb appeal in the front is a huge one. We've had Brent on the show. We've had Gamash talk about this. But what happens is I see this all the time. An older home with modern upgraded landscaping or well-manicured landscaping, those will sell so quick. All the time,
because you feel like everything's been upkept, not only in the property, but in the home.
That's exactly right. I can.
And it probably has.
It probably has. We can take a home that's 15 years old that has maintained the landscaping and put in newer concrete curbing and upgraded to the rock style that is popular now versus 15 years ago. I mean, remember everybody used to have. Excuse me if you have red lava rock, but everybody had red lava rock.
That was the thing.
Everywhere, and then for a while it was pink, the salmon rock, was big, so we go through those cycles like that, and if you're out of that cycle and trying to resell, it does date the house, whereas if you modernize that on the outside, there's some sweat equity there, maybe with some wheelbarrows and stuff.
And that's easy stuff for Brent can come out.
Or you call Brent and have Gamash just knock it out. But what it does is it updates the perception that the house is newer than it really is.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is another fix where you can get a big, big return at. So
and perception is reality. I mean, that's kind of how things go around.
So condition on that is huge, 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 and we talk about that a lot. So if we were taking this topic, Scott, and we were relating this to mortgages and loans.
I thought we were going to talk about cars again.
Well, you might talk about cars. That might be part of the question. If somebody doesn't get the loan the first time around, or they come to you and can't get the pre-approval they want, what is one of the biggest changes that you frequently are suggesting to people so that they can get the loan the second time around or be more prepared to qualify?
Talk about cars. Refinance the car, sell the car, get rid of a car you don't need. So what we're really talking about is liability.
No, this isn't the Dave Ramsey show. This is the real estate show. But it is the same,
minimize,
isn't it?
Absolutely. It's minimize your monthly obligations so that your debt-to-income ratios are lowered, and that will help you not only qualify for the home you may be looking for, or it'll help you qualify maybe for more home loan as well. So those are big, big deals, is to make sure that you're doing the things to be prepared to execute when you're ready to buy.
So what happens a lot of times today, as I've heard people say, is a lot of small business owners, might be looking at homes or qualifying.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, small business owners, they don't have that W-2 income that somebody has, but if they go buy lots of new vehicles or work vehicles, they might not have the income, the W-2 income, but they're always going to have that debt show on the credit report, aren't they?
Absolutely. And self-employed folks, what we're really analyzing is their last 2 years of tax returns.
Okay.
And the challenge that a lot of people run into is that when you're self-employed, a lot of times you tend to write lifestyle into your business as far as the way that you're living through your business, because you're kind of doing it 24/7.
Right.
And so when you have your tax returns come in, you might show, okay, I had revenue of $100,000, but you're going to go into your tax return, and on the 1040, look at line 43. Line 43 will show taxable income. Taxable income is representative of how much of that gross revenue did you actually pay taxes on.
And take home.
And so, usually what they'll do is they'll write off all the expenses, all the write-downs, take every credit they possibly can. And in self-employed situations, your taxable income is a very, very small amount of your net profit.
But you have no discounts unless that's been super well documented for the debt structure for the new cars.
Exactly.
And so so this is why you're always saying easier to buy the garage first.
Please buy the garage first, the so you have a place to put the car and the car, when you buy the car.
And the car second. And so, yeah. No, that makes sense.
Yeah,
that,
and if any of you folks have questions, call your local CPA, call your tax planner, or call me at 737-6004, and I can give you some guidance in that area.
Definitely, and we can get people to the CPAs that we work with that they use, and they can look at these structures, mm-hmm. and then you can help them determine that maybe you don't buy those cars, or maybe you hold off 6 months and purchase the house first and then make a decision about what car you're going to buy.
Well, you know, you should be writing a business plan before you start a business, and unfortunately a lot of people put the cart before the horse and say, I want to go into business, and then they think about the business plan later. It's no different
when
than
you're purchasing a house.
A mortgage is you want to make sure you're putting a plan in place so that by the time you get to the point that you want to execute on that loan, you're ready to, and the paperwork is the most important piece.
That makes a lot of sense. So getting the loan the second time around.
Yeah.
A lot of people learn this stuff, and it's great to have some guidance. I appreciate you being here to give people that guidance.
Absolutely.
The last point that we're going to go over today, or probably have time for, is location. We talk about location a lot, but this is the point out of the 4 points that as much as I try to, I have yet to be able to change that. We've heard it a million times. This is one of the points that I cannot make. I cannot make a change to. Interestingly enough, they do sell condos on ships now. So you know,
unbelievable.
I think,
so you can change your location and your view.
You can be changing your.
But
port.
Ironically, it's always a waterfront view.
It is, and I wonder though if the prices fluctuate depending upon where they're at in port. I wonder if there's any like. I would like to see. This is how messed up I am. I would like to see statistics on that if they sell the condos for more when they're in different ports.
Probably.
So, anyway,
probably based
that's just
on,
my
on
messed
GDP
up,
would be my guess.
Messed yes. up real estate mind. But anyway, other than that situation, we cannot change the location.
No.
So what we're having to do is evaluate how that location affects our other factors, how it affects our marketing, how it affects our price. Because it is just going to be, for instance, if you have a home that is on a busy street or the backyard backs up to a very busy street, but it's comparable to four other homes that are on interior streets or on a cul-de-sac, they may have the exact same amenities, bedrooms, finishes, baths. You're not going to be able to sell the home on the busy street for the same price as the other comparables.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not going to happen. So factoring that into the case, factoring location into the case is huge. And then if you are in that situation, you are on a busy street, you need to really magnify the attributes of that location that are better. It must then be close to shopping, have easy access to work. You know, there's going to be other factors to highlight about your location. It could be the school district you're in.
Mm-hmm.
It could be how close it is to the park. So taking those factors into account and really kind of maximizing the great parts about a location are what can make a huge, huge difference. And a lot of times it could be the location was wrong for the original price that we had set.
Well, and you know there what you do every week? You bring to this show the reality of, from a seller's standpoint, they're going to try to focus on the things to get them a better price. They're going to be focusing on the things that show more value. And from a buyer's standpoint, they're going to be trying to point out all the things that aren't right to negotiate.
Correct.
And that's really where your expertise comes in, so that you can look at both sides of the street and help to facilitate a smooth transaction and get reality to the table as quickly as possible so they can actually decide on a price.
Well, that's exactly right. And quite honestly, too, with what comes down to is it comes down to who's hired us. So if we are a buyer looking, we are going to use every tool to our advantage to get that price as low as possible. If we are representing our sellers in that situation, we are going to try to maximize that value. And what happens through the negotiation process is the seller and buyer decide what's acceptable and where that point is. If it's not acceptable to either one, then we don't have a transaction.
Right.
And so it comes down to what is, of all these factors, what is the magic market number where we end up to with the buyer and seller? And that, folks, is a real estate transaction.
So
on that point, we have busted up out of our time slot. We've used up more of John's time than we're allowed. So we are going to jump off of here. But if you have any questions about what's going on, what it looks like is going to be happening over the next couple months, or you want one of those walkthrough and evaluations of where you're at, please feel free to call me at any time, 727-8977, or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. And for all of your lending needs, Scott, how can they get a hold of you?
Go ahead and give me a call. Scott Ridgway at Cobalt Mortgage, 737-6004. Be safe out there with your shopping.
All right, folks. We've got one more week of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update before Christmas. I've been counting down by how many radio shows left before Christmas. So we will see you next week on the final installment prior to Christmas.
Right here on News Talk 870.